This is a little short follow-up word from what we've been talking about. It really isn't related to the gospel reading, though. Everything's related to the resurrection. We looked at this just a little bit the other day. This is a really quick reminder. A couple of things. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 12. Before I was aware, my soul set me over the chariots of my noble people, or my kinsmen that are noble. So I mentioned to you earlier that because you're in Christ, there's a nobility about you. There's a glory about every one of you. And the Lord celebrates that, and the Lord honors that. You have to understand that, well, let me do this. We did this again the other day. This is language, Song of Solomon language. Again, if you don't use the Song of Solomon, it's poetic language. It's a metaphor about our relationship with Christ. When he talks about maturing, he talks about breasts in the Song of Solomon, that breasts speak of the ability to nurture. You've grown enough to where it's not just about you. You're able to give away. You're able to nurture others. And this is the Shulamite, the believer, saying, we have a little sister. She has no breast. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she's called for? If she is a wall, if she's living a life not of compromise, there's a wall between her and the power of sin, the world, we shall build on her battlements of silver. She's ready to go out and do damage to the enemy. But if she's a door, if she's still kind of going in and out, still allowing sin to control areas of her life that she won't give up, still playing with the world, being dominated by certain sin, we shall barricade her with planks of cedar. And the language there, a cedar, always speaks of new creation. Again, if she has no breast, we're going to, if she has a wall, she's living a life of supernatural holiness, victorious life, not perfect, but knowing the victory of Christ over the power of sin, then we'll just put battlements of silver. She's ready to go for it. But if she's a door, if there's like this life of compromise, then we're going to change her, but we're going to do that by barricading the door with planks of cedar. We're going to close up that door by reminding her that she's a new creation, by reminding her of her nobility and calling her forth into all that she is in Christ. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Now, I've had the Lord have hard conversations with me, and they broke my heart, but there never was any voice of condemnation or rejection. Because he died, he gave his son to save me, not to abuse me. He wants me transformed. He wants me to understand that he's put in me everything that's necessary for transformation. Christ accomplished all of it, and he's living in me to make all of that real. And so even when he's talking to me about my sin, he treats me as someone who has nobility. If that's not what's going on in your head, in light of your failure, then that's the devil. Because he's the condemner. Doesn't mean you don't get convicted, but even in the conviction, even if it's a hard word to you, even if it's a word that makes you weep before him, he always treats you as a person of nobility and a person of amazing potential. He always sees you in Christ. Now, having said that, I'll show you his heart. We talked about taking it out for a spin, like just put your toe in the water, just go for it. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 4, one of the great passages in the Song of Solomon. Verse 7 says, you are altogether beautiful, my love. There's no spot or blemish in you. Verse 9, you made my heart beat faster. This is Jesus speaking. You made my heart beat faster, my sister and my bride. You made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes and with a single strand of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister and my bride. How much better is your love than wine. Now, that's an amazing scripture. We're going to look at it through this lens. The life of abiding in Christ is a life of faith. And faith always has two parts, a yes and a thank you. The yes is the heart of obedience, that I find myself in a circumstance that's come on me that I wasn't aware of. I'm trusting that he's ordering my steps. I'm in Christ. So there's yes. Not complaining, not resistant, but yes. That's the pearls, the necklace, the strand, Song of Solomon, what goes around the neck represents surrender, the will. So he says, one single strand of your necklace ravishes my heart. And then the look, the eye, is the thank you. The look of absolute confidence and faith in him. Yes, thank you. What do you mean? We used an example a while ago. You're waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning by a crying baby. Yes. Now thank you for your patience and your joy in me right now, Lord. And then you go stick your toe in the water and take him out for a spin. And see if he doesn't prove himself faithful. But here's the cool thing. What you've been spending a lot of time doing is thinking about how many times you've failed. But the story is, Now, grace is never an excuse to go out and fail. If you think that it's an excuse to go out and fail because there's more grace, then you really don't understand grace at all. You can get away with far less under grace than you ever could under the law. See, because under the law, when my kids were little, I know that Luke used to be tormented by Wood. Wood is the older brother. And so he'd be in the back seat, and he would hit Luke in the shoulder, and Luke would say, "Dad," so Woody, do not hit him in the shoulder again. So he would, like, tap him in the shoulder and go, "Woody," I said, "don't hit him." He said, "I didn't hit him, I tapped him." I said, "Don't tap him on the shoulder, or hit him on the shoulder." Then I look back there, and Luke would go, "Dad," because Woody would go, like he's going to, but almost didn't. He said, "Well, I didn't tap him, I didn't hit him." That's the law. When you live under the law, you actually push the limits to try to get away as far as you want to. Grace says, stops at the thought of hitting my brother. You can get away with far less. You're being governed by love then. And here's the deal about the Lord. And I just feel so guilty because I'm not getting it. And just put your toe in the water. Go for it just in that one moment. Yes. Yes to your life. Yes to being in Christ. Yes to your... Because, see, faith never prays and hopes that he will. Faith always trusts that he is. There's a difference. Faith isn't believing that he can. Faith is trusting that he is right now, just as he promised. So yes to this situation, yes to your patience and joy coming to me, thank you. And I wait to see it. He sees it. And what he believes about me is what's the most important thing. I'm in Christ. I'm like, yes, thank you. And I put my toe in the water. And that one little step ravishes the heart of God. He doesn't step back going, well, then there you go. You did it once. Then I can't do that all the time. Isn't that the kind of conversation we have with people? You did it once, so why can't you be nice every time? No, this is his heart. He sees nobility in you. He's putting planks of cedar. He's trying to constantly remind you of the truth of who you are because he knows the truth will set you free. Knowing your true identity in Christ will set you free, not making you feel guilty and shame because that's the way the old man lived. You know, you gave in to weakness. Well, he's reminding you that died. Those emotions died on the cross. So when they rise up, don't come in agreement with him. You just let that be a platform for his strength to be made perfect. But he celebrates one single glance, one single strand. He ravishes his heart. And so here's who he is. He's like going, yes! Like you go in there and take care of the child, you come back and go, yes, yes, yes. That's the truth. That's you. Wasn't that fun? You can do that again. Not, why don't you do that all the time? What was wrong with you last night? You can do that again. You just put your toe in the water and the water is parted and you experience the land of promise. That, wasn't that cool? Ravishes his heart. That's the nature of God. That's who he is. I just think that's cool. We're not rocket scientists spiritually. We're sheep. And the fact that we got one of the questions right as sheep, he's like really excited about that. We'll work on these other ones, but if you can get that one right, we can get the other ones right. Yeah, but I only got one right. There were 15 questions. That one thing ravished my heart. That was so awesome. That was so cool. You put your toe in the water. Water's parted. That's life. That's normal. So let's work on the next one. Let's go after that one. That's him. He always talks to you as someone who believes in you because he's the one who put nobility in you. He is the nobility in you. He knows your potential better than you do. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.